I don't know what come over him, Marshal. Must have been clean out of his head. Come in here trying to kill me that way?
He had a pretty good reason to.
What are you talking about, Marshal?
How about that alibi? You got one?
Yeah. I got one. If it comes to that.
You're wrong. She's not gonna lie for you.
What are you trying to do, Marshal? You got no proof in that fire.
Besides, this here was self-defense.
Ask him.
They all seen it.
Maybe you can convince the jury.
What are you talking about, Marshal?
You're going to jail.
I told you, I don't scare so easy anymore.
I want your gun.
Ain't that easy, Marshal.
I said I want your gun.
It just ain't that easy.
Hi there, and welcome to Random Access Television. I'm your host, Zach, who, along with my co-host, Nas, watch and discuss a TV show from any time in history, picked for us by our vintage room-sized supercomputer. This week, we'll be covering the long-running Western series, Gunsmoke. So eagle-eyed listeners, eagle-eared listeners, might notice that this is not the one we promised last time, the Nat King Cole Show. That's because I messed up and recorded the wrong audio, and it was just a series of clicks and grunts. So, alas, that episode will be lost forever now. But y'all should do yourself a favor and look for the article, The Jackie Robinson of Television, from Indiana Public Radio, about the show. It was a very important series to the African-American community, if Nas and I found it a little bit bland ourselves, but it was just music. Anywho, on to today's show, which is Gunsmoke. Nas. So what was your previous experience with this show, or TV Westerns in general, as that is this is our first one?
This is our first Western, yeah. So Westerns and me, let me think back to my formative years. I know my grandma used to watch Westerns every Sunday morning, I think, in SAC, that they would run, a block of them until about noon or so, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And so my grandma would put them on, and, you know, they seemed bland but vaguely interesting. And, you know, I've come to really appreciate the Western aesthetic, especially in my life as of late. I think we've gotten kind of a nice little Western revival in certain, like, bands and pop culture stuff like that. So I have a soft spot in my heart now for Westerns. I think they're very charming.
I know you're not a big video gamer, but have you ever, like, watched or played Red Dead Redemption or anything like that?
Well, I've heard your wife talk about it many times. I have not myself played it, but I know a lot of people were really into it, and, like, you could have your own horse, and it was a whole, you know, fun exploring type game.
Yeah, with a lot of violence and a lot of sadness.
Yeah. But that's what makes a video game worth playing.
Yeah, exactly, the story. Or zero story.
Or zero story, and it's just like Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I've been playing MLB The Show lately. The story is, what's the score? Yeah, so.
Exactly.
All right, so a little bit of history here, history time, history segment, whatever I want to call it. Gunsmoke, like a lot of series in the 1950s, started on radio in 1952, just 3 years before the TV version started. Creators Norman MacDonald and John Meston specifically created it as a contrast to Western radio series and TV series at the time that were more kid-focused. Something like The Lone Ranger, where the bad guy wore the black hat, the good guy wore the white
hat.
Right. The bad guy was always punished, and they were always shot in the shoulder and conveniently dropped the gun.
And that happened a couple of times on both these episodes that we watched.
Yeah, but a little bit more. I mean, if you watch, I've watched something like the Annie Oakley show from the early 50s, and it's amazing how they can shoot the gun out of people's hands, with zero consequences.
I guess you got to be a talented sheriff.
I guess so. So the original radio cast, the only reason I'm mentioning this is because there's some interesting people for later for TV history. So the original radio cast included William Conrad, who later was known as Cannon on canon, and as the Fat Man in Jake and the Fat Man. Okay. He played Matt Dillon, the U.S. Marshal headquartered in Dodge City, Kansas in the 1870s, the main character. Alongside him was his deputy, Chester, played by recognizable character actor Parley Bear. If you Googled his name, you'd find out. There was a saloon girl, quote-unquote saloon girl.
Saloon girl!
Yeah, played by actress Georgia Ellis. And the town doctor, Doc Adams, was played by Howard McNear, who later went on to play Floyd the Barber on the Andy Griffith Show, and he sounded exactly the same.
Okay, I remember him. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of episodes of Andy Griffith, so, yeah. Okay.
Ooh, Andy. Ooh, Marsh Dillon. So if you're having a hard time picturing any of these folks, if you've heard of in a hard-boiled Western TV series, neither could the producers of the show. So unlike a lot of the radio to TV adaptations, there was no consideration of having the characters from the radio show play them on TV, especially William Conrad as well. Well, to be blunt, he played a character named the Fat Man. He doesn't exactly look like your strapping vision of 50s masculinity.
They missed out by not putting the Fat Man in the show.
Yeah. Anyways, so that honor went to 6'7", deep-voiced actor James Arness, who got the role in large part because of his friend John Wayne recommended him for the part.
Wow.
John Wayne actually did the introduction to the first episode.
Okay.
The quote-unquote saloon girl, Miss Kitty, would be played by Amanda Blake, Doc Adams by the awesomely named Milburn Stone, and squeaky-voiced Deputy Chester by Dennis Weaver. And so, with exceptions, we'll get to some of those later. That was the cast for the next 20 years and 635 episodes.
So, yeah. 635 episodes. So, what else has run that long? We have The Simpsons.
We have Law and Order SVU has now run 21 seasons, but is nowhere near the amount of episodes because back then they did as many as 39 a season.
Wow. So were these, like, the first thing I have to ask, and maybe you can tell me, is didn't these guys and gals get burnt out?
You'd think so, but no. Some of them did. I mean, we'll get to some later on. There were some cast changes, and a lot of times there were people who got burnt out on shows throughout the 50s and 60s or whatever. But I think, at least especially back in television, because there wasn't the idea of it being kind of a glamorous thing like movies, it was kind of like a working class thing. There were a lot of actors who were just really happy to have a steady work.
Interesting.
It's something you were working there 40 hours, or, you know, 40 weeks a year. You knew that every week there'd be a paycheck and every week you'd have something to do.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I was thinking about it because we watched the first episode that we watched was this in the second season. And what was it?
It was in the first episode we watched, it was an episode called Monopoly from season 4.
Oh, it originally from season aired 4. Okay.
Yeah, October 4th, 1958. You were saying, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You know what? I think our DVR had the wrong episode listing on it because that's not what it was listed as. But yeah, I mean, we saw this one, which was season 4, and then the second one was way later in the show. And the fellow who plays the sheriff seemed just as bright and amenable and, you know, same acting in the beginning as in the later episode. It was like, did any time? He didn't even look any different.
No, he really didn't. I mean, let's get into the episode here. Sure. So this one, the basic plot of this one was capitalism.
It was about capitalism, yeah.
In that, you know, this guy comes to town, tries to buy out all of the, what do they call them? But they're basically delivery companies, but they had a different word for them. Freight.
It was like freight hauling on the Old West, like horses and buggies and things.
Yeah. He tries to buy out all the local freight haulers. Right. And when that goes wrong, he turns to violence. And that's the basics of the plot. What did you think about the show in general?
I mean, it started out, it was really funny because, like, I mean, you know, this businessman comes and he's like Mr. Suave and he's got the nice clothes and the nice hat and he's trying to hassle this, you know, small-time freighter out of his land, his route, basically, his, like, freighting route. And you know, this guy, this older, like, pioneer type gentleman, like, wouldn't sell to the businessman. He was like, I don't know. This is my livelihood. This is my home. This is what I've been doing. This is what I know how to do. I don't want to retire. I just want, he said it was really interesting. He said, I only want what's due to me. And I thought that was a really, it's interesting that a show from this period in time was dealing with the kind of an emerging business class, but in this like in a pioneer setting. So right. it was a critique of capitalism, of corporate capitalism specifically. And yeah, I found that really interesting. It was unexpected.
What did you think generally? Because I've been watching a lot of these half-hour Westerns over the last couple of years, specifically the show Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp. So I'm kind of used to how a half-hour drama worked back then, but this must be relatively new to you. What did you think of it?
Well, it is kind of interesting because it's clearly a drama, which a half-hour drama, with the exception, I think I've mentioned in episodes before, is like the only one I can think of off the top of my head usually is like Barry on HBO. Like half-hour dramas don't usually exist. You know, they're very rare. So yeah, it actually the pacing was good. It seemed a little rushed, but the story wasn't too terribly complex.
That's true. And that's actually something I noticed when I was pulling clips for it. I do that ahead of time. I don't think there was a single scene, except for maybe the end confrontation, which I'm going to play part of that as the beginning of the episode, that lasted more than about 90 seconds.
Right.
It was just pure economy.
What was that you said?
It was just really economic use of whatever. It's just all plot, and they just hit the plot.
Right.
I mean, for better or worse, I mean, there was a little bit of characterization where kind of like Chester, you know, was complaining about having to clean up or something, and that was it.
Yeah, the show opens with Chester being like, you know, cleaning the floor and like, It was very just like, this is an opening, this is the middle, this is the plot, this is the end. Like, it was all just wrapped up in a nice little package. But on the other hand, I didn't dislike that. It was comforting. It was actually, we'll talk about the second episode in a second, but the second episode was an hour long. So they sort of, it was like 45 minutes. It wasn't exactly a full hour. Like,
I believe the one we watched was a little trimmed, I believe. INSP, which is a network and not a Myers-Briggs test, where we watch these, they trim it a little bit. It was originally 50 minutes.
Okay.
But to squeeze in more commercials in modern, I believe the edits are 44 minutes.
Okay. And there's quite a few commercials on this funny little network. But anyway, and they're all geared toward very old people.
Have you got your reverse mortgage yet?
Oh yes, I got my reverse mortgage ready. I got my my incontinence pills, and I think there was a lot of ads for other cowboy shows.
Yes, John Wayne week. It was John Wayne week. They were making that very clear.
That was definitely John Wayne weekend. But yeah, the half hour drama segment. I liked it. I actually kind of liked the half hour a little bit. I thought the 50-minute one ran a little long.
And we'll get to that in a little bit, but I really like the half-hour drama. I was very excited this week. They used to do this. They kind of fell out of fashion in the mid-60s and was just all but gone by the 70s. Although some of in the 80s, the cable networks experimented with it. So, like, the Swamp Thing TV show was only half an hour long. Or Fox Network, when it started, had a werewolf show that was only a half hour long. It was called Werewolf.
I want to see that. That's cool.
It's
probably not okay. Good. It's
they had one good werewolf effect, and they use that same shot in every episode. But before we go to the next episode, something I got to say. I love Dennis Weaver as Chester. I wish he'd gotten a little bit more of him. Also a little bit more of Miss Kitty, who has like maybe two lines in both of these episodes combined.
Yeah.
Just by pure coincidence. Because she was on the show for almost the entire run too.
Right. Well, what I thought was really interesting. So in this episode, Miss Kitty, like, yeah, she only had a couple lines, but she was very, what's the word? I hate to make the comparison. She sort of reminded me of the madam in the movie Gone with the Wind. It was like a very similar character, but she changed a bit when we got to the later episode. Her character kind of shifted a little bit. And it was kind of funny because in this, she was sort of tough, but fair in a way.
Right.
And yeah, I was sad that we didn't really get to see more of her, though. I'm sure she is probably in every episode, so I could just watch another episode and get more of her.
Watch her episode at random. There's 635 more, so, or I guess 633.
oh my god, yeah.
So before we go on, because most of the cast did stay for the whole time, but the deputies would shift in and out. And so this episode, it was Dennis Weaver as Chester. Mm-hmm. With his little limp, which apparently was his idea.
Okay.
And apparently did the sort of same thing that happened with House and Carrie Weaver on ER, where eventually their fake limp gave them a real one and massive amounts of real pain.
No way! Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons he eventually left. Marshall Dillon and Doc Adams were on the show for the entire run, but the the deputy position shifted around. So Dennis Weaver left the show in 1963. He eventually starred in the hit show McCloud. It was part of the NBC mystery movie with Columbo. So he was initially replaced by a half Native American character named Quince Asper, who was played by a very young Burt Reynolds.
Oh, that's cool.
So Burt Reynolds left the show, never to be heard from again. and when he did, reoccurring comedic relief character Festus Hagen, played by country crooner Ken Curtis. I made sure to play Nas some of his wonderful singing ahead of time.
It was very cool. I liked it.
He was part of the Sons of the Pioneers with Roy Rogers.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, interesting.
He became the final deputy on the series for 300 episodes.
Holy.
There was also a character named Newley, who I've never seen and couldn't really figure out what he did, but he's on
just
it anyways.
Like in the jail. He's just in the background at some point.
And,
yeah.
And there was a character named Thad, who was in for two seasons, and specifically the one we watched, which was The Brothers from season 11. Before we get to that, though, I got to say, ratings-wise, it was a smash hit, the show. By its third season, it was the number one show in the country. And it stayed there for 4 years, despite airing at 10 o'clock on Saturday nights.
Wow.
Which is kind of weird to think of Saturday night shows in general, let alone the number one show being there.
You go Gunsmoke. I mean, I mean, what can I say about it? I think it's not exactly what I'd call a procedural, because it's not. But it has that same, you know, CSI type. It's wrapped up at the end of the episode. Go on to the next, you know.
Well, as we were talking about in our Scene Elsewhere episode a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
It was of the old school guest star focused one.
Right.
So it like in the second episode we watched, I was kind of curious because the basic plot of this is some bank robbers rob the town. One of them, a kid, gets left behind, and his gang, including his evil brother, tries to get him out of jail and tries to intimidate the town into letting the brother go.
Right.
So I was kind of curious. So, like, there's this character, Dave, the newspaper. And then Thad has his friend. Oh, what was his
name? I can't remember the dude's name. I liked Thad, Willie. Though, because he was a himbo.
Yeah, he definitely was.
Sheriff Dillon doesn't want me to leave my post, so I'm not gonna.
You know, actually, that's probably one of the clips I was going to play. I'm going to go ahead and play that clip right now with Thad talking to Willie, who, by the way, looks exactly like Edward Furlong in Terminator 2. So here is Thad and his cousin, Willie.
You mean you ain't going even after the marshal sent for you?
No, I'm not.
Well, what if he really needs you?
I can't help it. He told me to stay here and watch that prisoner, and that's exactly what I'm going to do until he gets back.
Well, he sure is going to be mad when you don't show up.
If he sent that message.
But you can't be sure he didn't.
No, I can't. But he wouldn't have sent it with a stranger. He would have sent it with Festus.
Well, maybe he couldn't. Well, maybe he's got the gang pinned down and he needs Festus to help him. And you do.
I ain't going, Will, and that's all there is to it.
Well, somebody's gotta go.
Listen to me, Will. If I don't show up, then all that's gonna happen is the marshal's got a 40-mile ride back into town, and he'll just chew me out. But if he didn't send that message, then whoever does ride out there could very well be walking right into a trap.
I'll be careful, Thad. I give you my word.
Now just stay out of it, will you?
Listen, Thad, if the Marshal really needs somebody, well, then somebody ought to go.
I'll tell him you're holding the fort. Will?
I couldn't figure it. I couldn't tell if it was a friend or a cousin.
No. So I was like, okay, so who are these people? Is this guy Dave, the newspaper man? What's his purpose? I kept thinking that throughout. And it's basically just they're red shirts. He wasn't a reoccurring character.
Oh, and I was going to ask about that because I really liked him a lot. He was my favorite character next to Thad in either of the, like, in both of the show. I mean, you know, the sheriff's fine. He's a sheriff. He's a he's a good guy. But I really liked the newspaper man, but he's not in it anymore.
No, he was only in one episode.
Don't they need a newspaper?
You'd think so. And I've seen newspaper guys. You know, like I mentioned before, I was watching Wyatt Earp, and I've been watching this show called The Californians, and there are recurring newspaper characters in those. So I was thinking, oh, is he kind of like that? Nope. Single episode, never appears again. I mean, he writes an editorial about the robbers. They beat up his wife and maybe do other things to his wife, they kind of imply.
Right.
That's it. He'll never appear again.
And that's it. And he's like, I'm going to get those guys. And they're like, no, stay here. And he's like, okay. But yeah, I liked him a lot. I like saw him and I'm like, ooh, I like you. You're a cool character. But as typical with these like super long running shows, other than pretty much the main character, everybody switches around. Like,
right. Well, and especially in a show like this long, you know, for instance, the guy who played Willie, I looked him up and he was in four other episodes as different characters over the years. The gunman in the first episode is in three different episodes as three different characters. Because
they're going to run out of people.
Right. I mean, there's only so many actors out there who can ride a horse, frankly.
Right. Exactly. Well, it was really interesting also in this one because one of the other like few reoccurring characters was Miss Kitty was in this one, but she looked so much more modern. She was like in the other episode she was very like old west looking, like kind of that madam style, and this one she looked very like mid-century mod.
As the show went on, her character became more important and she got more power into things, so she kind of made the character what it was, more than just kind of the will they won't they, but it's a old style show so they never will sort of thing,
right?
You know,
because they were like eating dinner in this one. They were having dinner together. So it's like, hey, Sheriff Dillon, hey. But then it was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and in other episodes I've watched, they've implied that they're like kind of dating, but never are. And that's
not really.
That's one of those like Gen X questions I've seen in like a bunch of comedy movies from the 90s, you know, where they'll ask like, hey, do you think that Marshall Dillon was, you know, stupping Miss Kitty, or, you know?
Right. And I mean, listen, I didn't even check the fan fiction yet. I am sure there is much fan fiction out there about the two of them, and probably knowing fan fiction, Dillon and other characters as well.
I mean, Thad, come on, or Chester.
I was going to say. Dad's kind of a dreamboat.
Probably not Festus or Doc Adams. Sorry to both of y'all, but...
Probably not. They were kind of... Well, I mean, the Doc was kind of like... I don't know. He's kind of a lame duck. It's like, damn, dude. Like they beat you up. He's like... Ah, ah, ah.
Not, I mean, grumble was how I would describe that entire character.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought that the second episode was a little bit padded almost, because it's like they had to introduce those characters to get beat up just to do it on. And like he had the kid, he eventually, Marshall Dillon converts the kid into thinking that his brother's a bad guy. It's actually a really nice scene near the end where he and the kid are talking, and the kid was talking about how his brother was abused, and maybe that's the reason he's so bad. I'm going to go ahead and play a little clip from that right here.
I reckon you must hate me something fierce. I believe it now.
Believe what?
That woman. That's the worst thing I'd ever done. It'd be like beating Ma. I never did figure if Ma and Pa beat Ed because he was mean, or if he was mean because they beat him. There was a good time, though. It was after Ed saved my life. Ed'd remember better than me, because I was little. I don't remember very well. But I was drowning in this creek, and Ed hauled me out and took me home. Ma and Pa, they started kissing, making over Ed for saving me. It was the first time I ever remember things being good at home. They was good for quite a while. Then I'd got into some kind of trouble again, and the beating and hollering started all over. But I kept remembering how Ed saved my life. I'd do anything he said to make things better for him. Wouldn't you, Marshall? For a brother had saved you like that?
I think that depended on what he was asking me to do, Billy. It'll be dark for long. Got to be a chill in here already.
It kind of tells you the tone of the show, just in general. It's just very straightforward, but with dark themes, but kind of hinted at? I don't know.
Right, right. I mean, I really liked the message of the end of this one. It was basically, you know, it was very much like the family, your family of origin doesn't always have your best interest in mind. And I thought that right. was actually a really interesting and important message. Again, for sort of like a, you know, this was a... I think a 1972 episode. So yeah,
63 or 64, something like
right.
that.
Right. Oh, okay. Maybe yeah, earlier than I thought then. And
because the series switched to color in 1966 for its last 10 seasons. So
oh,
or
okay.
9 seasons actually. This was the last season in black and white.
Got it.
Just
okay.
just real fast. It was basically 3 shows. It was on for so long that there's roughly the same number of episodes that are in black and white,
uh-huh.
half hour,
uh-huh.
in black and white, hour long, and in color, hour long.
Okay.
It's basically 3 different series of about 200 episodes.
That's
each.
Really interesting. But yeah, it was, yeah, interesting subjects being tackled on both of these, and it was absolutely mm-hmm. not what I expected. I very much expected it to be like, oh, bad guy comes into town, maybe there's some, you know, some native battles happening or something like, well, maybe that's more like Bonanza style, but it, yeah. it's, you know, I nothing like that. And this tackled
right.
some deeper themes, and mm-hmm. I liked that. And I also liked how they tied the boy to the tree, like Saint Sebastian style. And I'm like, there's some Catholic imagery for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That you flew over my
that's
head.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about there. You're talking about Sebastian Stan? Not him, I know.
No, no. Saint Sebastian is sort of, he is like the patrons in Catholicism. He's sort of kind of the patron saint of gay people, sort of. But it's sort of coded. It's coded and
right,
complicated.
Right.
So, yeah.
As is everything.
As is everything.
From what I understand, I'm not a Catholic, as you couldn't tell. if you listeners out there. Yeah, one last little note before I get here. I appreciate how sweaty the show is. A lot of the Westerns, everybody looks really clean, but come on, there's no air conditioning. You're in the middle of the desert, you know.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that, but now...
If you ever go back or like flip through, especially Chester, mm-hmm. there's several times where he's like sweating through his shirt. It's like translucent. It's...
Totally. Yeah, I was reading some of the... some of the bloopers also on IMDb, and yeah, there's a lot of them. It's like people getting shot in like one arm, but then they'll be clutching the other
yeah.
arm. Like, yeah, it was a lot of good old-fashioned nonsense.
Yeah, although it's something that kind of blew my mind. The just I was thinking about Westerns. I was looking up. I was on a Little House on the Prairie kick last summer.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah,
and. Set in the same time period, and I looked up the real Charles Ingalls, and he had a full-length, you know, beard.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up all these people, and they all had beards, and it's just something that never occurred to me. Like, everybody in Westerns is clean-shaven.
Totally.
Well, except for Festus here.
Right.
Festus is allowed to have a beard because he's the, you know, kind of dumb one, I guess.
Right.
But,
right, that's true, though. I think a lot of times it'll be the side characters or kind of
mm-hmm.
Some of the more evil guys, they'll have, you know, a beard. But, I mean, come on, you guys. It's Pioneer. It's Old West.
Yeah.
They weren't just sitting there like, oh, gotta trim my perfect, you know, goatee or whatever. Like, there's hair.
Yeah.
There was hair. There was sweat. There was dirt and whatever else. The Old West must have been filthy.
Yeah. Anything else on the second episode before we head on?
No. I mean, it was just a really, I just, they were good, solid, it was good, solid TV. Good, solid TV. I mean, you know, I think these solid, long-running shows, which most people, I don't think most people have sat down and watched an episode of Gunsmoke.
I don't think anybody who wasn't alive when it originally aired probably has.
Right. So I would definitely say, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't know what to watch right now, just put on an episode. Just find one on YouTube or whatever they're playing.
If you have cable, that INSP channel shows like 12 episodes a day. MeTV and TV Land play it constantly. I believe when I was looking for episodes of DVR, there's like 15 or 16 episodes played throughout the course of the day on cable.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. So you'll never run out. You'll never run out of Gunsmoke. You have, and again, it's not like shows nowadays where it's like, oh, it's all plot driven. No, literally put on any single one, be entertained for 20 minutes. Go for it.
I think there's like 3 two-parters in the entire history of it.
Yeah.
So if, unless you happen to stumble into one of those, you're fine.
But even then, I'm gonna bet you're probably still gonna be okay, because it's not gonna be this super complicated Breaking Bad style.
No. It'll be just like, you know, it ended on a cliffhanger and then it gets resolved.
Right.
That's
right.
Yeah. So Gunsmoke was popular its entire run. It actually was in the top 30 for every season but one, including its final season. It was number 27. It was so long-lasting that it not only outlasted every show that was on in 1955 when it premiered, but the entire genre of Westerns on TV. It was the only one left when it got canceled in 1975.
Wow.
But there had been 30 in between when it launched.
Wow. It started a cowboy revolution.
Yeah, and then ended it in the same way. Yeah. There's the Bonanza and Alias Smith and Jones were canceled in 1973, and those are the last Westerns that were still on. Okay. And then Gunsmoke had another 2 years.
Interesting. Whatever, like, I wonder if we're going to get now that a lot of this stuff is popping up in fashion, I wonder if we're going to get some sort of Western revival.
I think it's mostly, for better or worse, more based on the spaghetti Westerns of the 70s.
Which I love. Those are my favorite because they're pretty weird.
Yeah, they're weird. They're in color. They have, they're, you know, cooler.
Psychedelic.
In a lot of ways. Yeah, exactly.
I love all that stuff.
I'm not a huge fan of them in comparison, but I understand why other people are and why, especially if you're not a person who's watched a lot of older stuff. Something like a John Wayne movie or an episode of Gunsmoke, it looks old and hokey, and even if they're not, I just couldn't see why it would.
Right.
Yeah. So, Gunsmoke, although almost didn't last as long as it did, it barely survived the 1971 rural purge. Just try saying that 10 times fast.
Rural purge.
Yeah. Where CBS, basically, they got the demographics of, they got their first ever demographics reports and realized that most of the people who were watching their network were older, poorer, and lived in the South. And they wanted younger, richer people who lived in big cities. So, as to quote Green Acres star Pat Buttram, they canceled everything that had a gold darn tree in it. They all of, like, Beverly Hillbillies, every Western, every country, like, they canceled Johnny Cash show and things like that. But they didn't cancel Gunsmoke.
Interesting.
The only reason why, the network president's wife, that was her favorite show.
Okay. Another example of this weirdo TV background stuff where it's like it was a corporate decision, but it was like, oh, nope, you know, little Joe at the barbershop loves it.
And that same wife was actually one of the main reasons why they looked into canceling these shows in the first place, because she was at a dinner party and somebody made fun of the network, CBS, for being the hick channel, they called it.
Wow.
And so she complained to her husband, who started to look into things and then canceled Lassie and the Beverly Hillbillies and everything because his wife was embarrassed.
Well, listen, wife, you are a very powerful force in pop culture.
Yes.
That you will never get remembered for, but you drove it. You drove it, babe. You drove it.
So eventually, Gunsmoke was canceled. It was number 27 show. It was kind of a surprise, but that's not the end. Starting in 1987, there were a series of TV movies, Gunsmoke, The Return, starring James Arness as Marshall Dillon and whatever cast members happened to be alive. Less so as the show went on, yeah. And he was the only one in the last movie, but...
Oh, that's so depressing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, but it seems like, I mean, dang, dude. Like, yeah. He did it this whole life. He did it his whole life.
Basically. I mean, if you look at his IMDb, it's very slim. Because he just did Gunsmoke, and when he did Gunsmoke, he barely did anything else.
Oh, well.
He just must have really loved it. Eventually, its longevity records would be beaten by The Simpsons, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. who got to 21 seasons about 20 years ago at this point.
Right,
no,
right.
About 10 years ago at this
10
point.
10 years, yeah, yeah.
But it also took him another 6 years on top of that to get to more episodes.
Right,
just because
right.
Simpsons is only doing 20 episodes a season, not 40. So
that's wow.
And that's Gunsmoke. Wow. So review time. We give a A through F grade. I'll just go ahead first this time. Both the first episode B plus, second episode B. They're the same as every episode of the show I've ever seen. There's very few. No, I mean in a good way. There's very right. few highs. And there's very few lows. I bet you if you somehow were to sit there and to watch all 635 episodes and to rate them all on this same scale, I doubt you would have more than 3 or 4 A's or more than 3 or 4 D's.
Totally.
I bet you everything would just be in that. They were just professionals. They were just like working class guys. It was essentially like going to Denny's or something. You knew exactly what you were going to get. It would taste pretty good.
Price is right. Yeah,
right,
exactly. Yeah, I very similar. I'd say B plus to both, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite an A because it didn't necessarily have the intrigue of like some certain Twilight Zone, say, or you know, and it wasn't, there was nothing in it that was that offensive or something that I could nitpick. It was just like, yep, that's a good show. I think honestly, if people are kind of into like true crime and things like that, I feel like there's some crossover. Like they'd probably, it's good guys versus bad guys. I mean,
if you're tired of watching the same episode of SVU for the fourth time, watch one of these because it's essentially the same thing, just in black and white or with cowboys.
Yep, exactly. Give it a try. You might get a cowboy hat like I did and start wearing it.
You start going to Boot Barn more often.
I love the Boot Barn! I love the Boot Barn.
All right. Well, it is time to fire up our vintage supercomputer. I'm going to call it Agnes today in honor of the Twilight Zone.
Hell yeah.
It's been mentioned a few times here. Let's get this thing started. All right. You know what? I think it knows that it's the dog days of summer. It's probably the computer is overheating a little bit. You know, we got a room-sized computer that generates a lot of heat. My air conditioning bill is in the thousands, it's pumped out this Monday Night Baseball.
Okay.
The companion to Monday Night Football that ran in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, so is this its sports commentary? Or
it's a game.
It's a game! We're going to watch a baseball game!
Yes. Now, yeah. Exactly. It's a baseball game. I found the earliest one I found here. Okay. It is a game between the Phillies and the Reds.
Okay.
In 1978. That's what it is.
All right.
It's a baseball game.
We are going to watch a baseball game. We're going to try our best Vin Scully impression, even though he did not announce for either of those teams.
He was a national guy at the time. He might have been the announcer for this series.
Oh.
I think he worked for NBC doing their game of the week. But he could have been an ABC guy, too. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll probably
find out.
Might be
Al Michaels or Bob Costas is one of them.
Would Bob Costas that long ago?
Yes, he's not a young man.
What? He looks so young. Bob, what?
Just got one of those baby faces.
Give me your beauty routine, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. Well, except for that one time he did have the pink eye while doing the Olympics. But you remember that.
Not a good look.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for us. We'll see you all in 2 weeks.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Random Access Television. And if you haven't already, please remember to subscribe to us on Apple and Spotify podcasts. We also love to read reviews, so go ahead and leave us one. You can find us at RATV Pod. That's RATVPOD at twitter.com. And if you have questions, complaints, compliments, recipes, email us at ratvpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Bye-bye.